And we are back with Spot Dodge for the very last time. That's correct, you guys. Spot Dodge is no more. And there's a few reasons for this. Mainly, we don't want to be tied to a corporation, to my job, which is a gamers group. Don't get me wrong. Great company. I love working there. It's fantastic. But we don't have the complete freedom that we want whenever we're still technically tied to that brand. Gamers owns Spot Dodge. However, they don't own our next show, our next whole thing, which I'm going to get to. But I just wanted to be clear that there's no ill will at all. There's just a few reasons. One being, like I just said, we have complete freedom. It's our brand, our property, so we can do whatever we want in whatever fashion we want. Maybe we'll go back to being live, like we used to do a live show, but we stopped, and that was a gamers thing. That was something they requested. They said essentially that it wasn't worth the time. I had to sort of fight to keep doing the show as like a pre-recorded show. And, you know, that's fine, but instead of like dodging all these things that might potentially pop up, it's best to just avoid it entirely, rebrand the show, become our own thing. And one more thing. The second reason is because, if you didn't know, Mary Stowe, she used to be on the show. She was on for like probably like 100 episodes or something like that. I don't even know how many episodes we have right now. But she left because she left Gamers. She, you know, put in her 2 weeks. She had her final days, and then she was gone off into the sunset to go do crazy PAXed events and work at Zelda Universe, where she's doing like social media stuff over there. And I'm sure she's doing other stuff as well. Like, she's still on TikTok and everything. She didn't want to be on the show if she was still tied to Gamers, which makes sense. I mean, you don't want to like still technically be working for your previous employer for free. So she left, and we were in a spot where we're thinking the show's, it's growing a little stagnant. You know, like our listens aren't up. They're steady, you know, like they're still past our expectations, at least mine personally. I never expected them to do even over 100 listens an episode, which we surpass easily, which is awesome. That's great. Because podcasts are like so hard to grow. There's so many podcasts, and you don't expect to ever do numbers. And we've done like really great numbers that have surpassed my expectations, like I said. But here it is. All right. So here's the changes. Here's everything we're doing. Spot Dodge, a Nintendo podcast, is no more. We are now going to be called Press X. That's the name of our show. You might think, X? What? Is this a PlayStation show? No. We decided on Press X because, first off, we couldn't think of another name. It was so dang hard to come up with a name. We thought about it for weeks, probably it was actually months. We were trying to come up with a name, and we just couldn't. So you know what? I decided to go behind everyone's backs and just say, all right, this was one that mostly everyone agreed on. We're going to do Press X. Now I was thinking we're doing this because X is on every single controller. It's on a Switch controller. It's on a PlayStation controller, an Xbox controller, even a keyboard for all you nerds out there. It's on all of them. So we are Press X, and we're going to be a little more console agnostic, meaning we're going to talk a bit more about PlayStation, Xbox, and like I said, maybe even a little PC for you nerds out there with Greg being on the show, because we never really got to stretch our legs. Is that right? Is that a phrase? We never got to really talk about all the stuff that we wanted to. I'll just say that. And we have other interests, more than Nintendo. However, the show is still going to be Nintendo-focused. So we're still going to run down the Nintendo news, specifically, all the biggest topics, talk about that every single week. That's not going to change at all. However, in addition to that, we might also add in news topics that are like huge, that also involve Xbox, PlayStation, and yeah, and like I said, PC. So that's pretty much the only thing that's changing on the show. Aside from that, everything else is going to be the exact same. It's Spot Dodge, but now we're called Press X. And that's it, guys. That's basically all I wanted to say. It's been an awesome year. It's been awesome having the show. I can't wait for Mary to come. Wait, did I even say? I don't even think I said this. Mary left the show because you know, her previous employer was Gamer. She left. She didn't want to do the show, but she said she would want to come back if we rebranded. So, again, we're doing this because, you know, we get to talk about other things. We're not owned by Gamers anymore. And Mary gets to come back. That's like a huge thing. Mary is going to be back probably on the next episode, which is awesome. Because we need, let's face it, it is a sausage fest on this show. It's just disgusting. We are all extremely disgusting. So we need a little Mary touch on our show. And she's going to be coming back. She's going to be talking about Baldur's Gate. She's going to be talking about Fire Emblem and Zelda. And we're going to go back to pretty much everything that we used to talk about and everything that we used to do. Like I said, not much is really changing. The only thing that's changing, and this RSS feed is mine, so it's staying as well. You don't have to like subscribe to another podcast. It might take a while for the artwork and stuff to update, but we're just going to be called Press X. We're still going to go over all the Nintendo news, talk about Nintendo games, and we're also going to, like, when we want to, talk about Xbox and PlayStation. So yeah, that's pretty much everything. Mary's coming back. We're Press X. Thank you so much. Now, I was thinking, because I'm here, you know, recording this, and I have about 10 more minutes before I have to leave and go pick up my kids from school, I was thinking I would just talk about, oh yeah, my voice just, I mean, it kind of just cracked, but my voice has been out today. I have no idea why, but, so if it cracks, don't make fun of me. I wanted to talk about some of the games I've been playing, because this year's been nuts, and my time to talk about the games I'm playing on our show always ends up being like the last 30 seconds. Because we don't want to pay for Zoom, which is way too expensive, and we have a time limit every single time we record the show, which sucks. So I just want to talk about some of the games I'm playing, or some of the games I have beaten recently, just to sort of give you that spot dodge fix that you were wanting so bad, because now there's no real episode this week. So that's what I'm going to do. Let's get on into it, you guys. I've recently been playing, as I'm sure you know if you listened to the previous episodes, Starfield. I gotta be honest, this game has captivated me. It is so good. It's so addicting. It's probably the only game in the past 5 years that I've invested like 60 hours into, and I wasn't even slightly getting tired of it. The only thing that stresses me out about still playing it is the fact that there are so many games coming out this year that I feel obligated to wrap it up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play through the last faction, and then I'm going to move on. And then I'm going to beat the game, and then I'm going to move on and play other stuff like Sea of Stars and the Cyberpunk expansion, which looks awesome. And I got a review code for that, and I haven't even gotten started. I could have started it days ago, and I haven't because I just want to be dedicated to Starfield. But yeah, Starfield, I'm very surprised this game has gotten such a mixed reception, because on all accounts, I think it's fantastic. I think it's a beautiful game, both like the character dynamics, and the story, and the world. Everything, all of it is just beautiful to me. It's so well done. It's way more of a BioWare-style game than I think people are giving it credit. Like, there's only four companions, but they're so fleshed out, and they all have companion quests just like Mass Effect. And I'm just wondering, how many reviewers did these companion quests? Like, did you actually play Starfield? Did you do the factions? Because, guys, the factions within Starfield, they're legitimately mini, actually, not even mini, they're like full-length story campaigns, like standalone story campaigns. They don't really connect to the main story unless your character, like, brings something up, or like, your companions bring something up revolving around the main story. But they're mostly standalone. They're like games within the game. And they all take you to different locations, they all put you in different gameplay scenarios, they all have really, really good stories, and really good settings in general. Like, they diversified the environments perfectly with all these factions so that you're always somewhere that's, like, refreshing. And I feel like these are so crazy overlooked. I don't know if maybe Bethesda should have done a better job highlighting them as being, like, the meat of the game, because that's what they are to me. Like, if you played Starfield from beginning to end and you didn't touch the factions or the companion quests, in my eyes, honestly, you didn't play Starfield. Because that's essentially like playing Mass Effect 2 and not doing any of the character side stuff. That's essentially like playing Breath of the Wild and not doing any of the shrines. It is the game. Like, it is the meat of the game. It's what makes it great. It's what makes it amazing. is the factions and the companion quests. And there's still other stuff too, like there's random side quests you'll stumble upon. Very interesting and well-told side quests that end up being like sometimes a couple hours long. Like they're like mini stories within the story as well. And it just doesn't seem like it's Bethesda. Like, I know, like, yeah, you see glitches, you think, bug Bethesda, yeah, it's the same old thing. No, guys, like, Starfield has really rich, deep stories within them. Within the game, I mean. They went all out with storytelling. It doesn't seem like the same team wrote this game that wrote Fallout 4 and Skyrim. It seems like they really brought in great talent to flesh out this world, the story, and the characters. And I absolutely love it for that. And what's cool is, like, when you're doing these faction quests, you have different companions with you. Because if you didn't know, the more time you spend with a companion and you make choices that they like, or just having them with you, you start to build a relationship with them and they start to open up to you and tell you about their past or something they need help with. It literally works exactly like Mass Effect 2. It's like Mass Effect 2 exactly. And it's not getting the credit for that. Because it's like doing Mass Effect 2 just as good as Mass Effect 2 did. And no one's really acknowledging it. And it's, I personally think it's because, in terms of reviewers, a lot that I've listened to, a lot that I've read and watched on YouTube, I don't think they did this content. For some reason, there was this big push around media in the game sphere, on Twitter and whatnot, that you should mainline Starfield. And I just think, what the hell are they talking about? Do not mainline Starfield. This game should not be mainlined. You should exist in this world. Be a part of it. Don't just rush through the main story. You see something in the distance you want to do, go do that thing. Because odds are in this game, it actually pays off, which cannot be said for other major AAA games, especially like open world games. It honestly rarely pays off when you're doing some random Ubisoft side quest or even in like PlayStation first party games. That's like one of the reasons why Horizon Forbidden West broke me. It's because I started the game doing everything. And then I was like, this is ridiculous. This is not good. I'm literally like going up a hill to fetch some flowers and shit. Like, no. I want to do fun stuff. I want to experience interesting stories. And Starfield has been doing that for me. Hardcore. It's been so good. I've just been sucked into this world. It's like, just like so much. I've been thinking about it, and it sucks when I have a day that goes by and I work all day, and then I gotta do something, like my car, like right now, is messed up. I gotta take it to the shop as soon as my wife gets off, and then I gotta do other stuff tonight, I'm sure. Like, I might not be able to play it that much today, and when I have days like that, it genuinely upsets me. Because I'm like, man, I didn't get to play Starfield much today. And I'm big on completing games. I think it's absolutely necessary if you work in the games industry to see games through to the end. And I always push that on our show. And this is one game where I'm not even like rushing to go beat other games that are in my backlog. Like, I've started a lot of games that I really want to beat before this year's over with. I haven't even beat Hogwarts Legacy yet. And I actually like that game. Same with Atomic Heart. Those are two big games on my list still. But I've been so into this game that I haven't even thought about other games at all. I've only beaten one game since Starfield came out, and I had it like day one in the early access. And the one game I beat was like 3.5 hours long, which is The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I guess I'll talk about after this. But yeah, it's so good. Don't let the negativity online deter you from trying out this game. And the thing is like, you have to keep in mind, you're going to have a different experience than everyone. So if you keep that mindset and think, okay, this is kind of boring, but I don't want to do this, so I'm going to go do something else. That's what you should do then. Don't fall victim to the game's structure, to the game's idea of what the player is supposed to do. Because it does have an idea about what the player is supposed to do. But you don't have to follow that. You can do whatever you want. You can go be a space pirate. And like I'm saying, the Crimson Fleet faction, it's so good. It's so good. Like, the Crimson Fleet, the Ryujin, which is the last one that I'm on right now, and then after I beat it, I'll finally beat the game. The Vanguard and the... what was the other one? Crimson Fleet, Vanguard, Ryujin, and the Freestar Collective. They're all fantastic. Freestar Collective is probably my least favorite. And then, that, of course, that's the first one Brett Larson did, the other Brett on this show, and I'm thinking, oh god, now he got a bad idea about like what the factions are like. He doesn't know how good the other ones are. But the Vanguard and the Crimson Fleet were fantastic. The Ryujin, it's great so far. It's kind of a lot. It's kind of a lot of a fetch questy stuff, but I think it's gonna pay off because it's sort of building up to this thing. You're like working at a corporation, doing like scheming out other companies. Does that even make sense? Scheming out. Anyway, like doing like things to bring down other corporations, and it's really interesting. And I have a good idea about where it's going to go, but I don't know yet. But yeah, Starfield, it's fantastic. Don't listen to the negativity. I honestly can't believe this game sits at a, let's see, Starfield Metacritic. It sits at right now, the Xbox version, at 83. That seems wild to me. Absolutely wild. And this is going to sound Xbox fanboy-y, I guess. At the end of the day, I don't give a shit. But I have a feeling if this was a multi-platform game that was launching on everything and had PlayStation marketing behind it, which is what it was originally going to have, this game would have a different reception. A lot of people grew up on PlayStation that are now grown adults. 18-year-olds were little kids when the PS4 came out. Isn't that weird to think about? And they only know PlayStation. So when something comes out like Starfield and they see that it's mostly positive, I feel like they feel inclined to think, well, this isn't what I have. This is the new Xbox thing. So that and look at these bugs. This game's terrible. Now I'm going to tell everyone that it's terrible, which is so weird. But I honestly think that people forget that those consoles came out so long ago, and like the Gen Zers only know like PlayStation 4 and now PlayStation 5. So when something like when Xbox keeps like churning out these big exclusive games, which are finally coming. Yeah, like, we had ones like Halo Infinite was big, but Halo is not that relevant anymore. Forza Horizon was huge, but it's a racing game, so the audience can only go so far. But now that they're going to be bringing out these big games, like RPGs, action-adventure games, big major first-person shooters, like whenever Wolfenstein comes back, or maybe the next Doom is Xbox exclusive. Like, I think when these games finally start coming out, it's going to hit the mainstream like gaming audience so hard because more people are going to realize, oh crap, like I'm missing out on these great games. So I think for a while it might be super negative around all these big Xbox exclusives. I expect the same thing for Stalker 2, even though that's a timed exclusive. I think Stalker 2 is going to be a big hit when it comes out. Similar to Starfield, not like as big as Starfield, but I think it's going to, you know, make the waves, and there's going to be this weird, gross negativity around it. Just like there always has been around all Xbox games. But I think this year, in general, it's been a crazy year. I'll try to stop talking about Starfield now. I just don't like the negativity around the game. Just doesn't make sense to me. It's a great game. It's absolutely great and amazing to a lot of people. And yes, it has flaws, but so does every single game. Death Stranding is a game I absolutely adore. But I'm not going to say it doesn't have flaws. The whole crux of the game is literally walking. You're walking. That's the game. That's pretty much a flaw, like a major flaw in a game that, I mean, a high-budget AAA game like that. It is bold to make a game that's just walking. That's the main game. That's what you're doing. But it was bold, and it was different, and it was entertaining, and it just had a feel to it that I absolutely loved. But it reviewed similar to Starfield. A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people were disappointed in it. It's like Hideo Kojima's worst game to a lot of people. And I totally disagree, because it's actually the only Kojima game that I've ever been able to get really into. So yeah, I don't think, by the way, I don't think it's all like Xbox fanboy stuff, like why this game reviewed in the mid-80s or whatever. I think that it's a combination of things. But I do think that there is an obvious bias against Xbox in the gaming industry. I mean, it's almost blatantly obvious when you look at a game like Mortal Kombat, which actually this is brand new, so there's not that many reviews out. Like a game like I'm on Metacritic right now trying to find an example, but all these are like fresh games, so they don't have barely any reviews. Well, anyway, if you go to any review on Metacritic, you can look at how many people reviewed the Xbox version and how many people reviewed the PlayStation version. Way more critics play on PlayStation. Way more. And the overwhelming majority play on PlayStation. Now, does that mean they have like this negative bias against Xbox? I don't know. Probably not all of them. Probably just a small percentage. But I do think that small percentage matters. And a lot of times that small percentage ends up being at a major website like GameSpot or IGN, which are weighted much heavier on a site like Metacritic. Which, can we just say, Metacritic is stupid. Why are other sites weighted heavier than like others? It just doesn't make sense. Just give me the average score. Metacritic is not an average score. It's a combined weird number where they give like IGN like dominance and GameSpot dominance over like other gaming sites. And it's silly because that same writer at GameSpot could end up leaving and going to, I don't know, a Games Radar the next year, and suddenly his opinion isn't worth the amount that it was when he was at IGN. It's just stupid to me. I think every site should be worth the exact same, which is what OpenCritic is, I believe. I don't really use OpenCritic because I'm just used to Metacritic, but yeah. Sorry about all the ums, by the way. I might be doing that a lot. I gotta get a drink of water. 1 second. All right. Aside from that, I recently played through The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Amanda, my wife, got me this for my birthday because I've been talking about how I've been wanting to play through all the old Spider-Man games. And I don't know if you know this, but they are crazy expensive. Every old Marvel game is wildly expensive. It just blows my mind because I remember seeing them all sitting on GameStop shelves for like $3 a piece like 10 years ago. And now they're literally like $100. And I can't emulate any of the PS3, 360, or Xbox One, PS4 stuff. So I have to find physical copies. And there was a $60 physical copy of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, a game that reviewed very poorly. But I recently played The Amazing Spider-Man on Vita, which was interesting to play it there, because it ran so terribly. But so I was really interested in the sequel because I didn't, you know, I don't fully believe all like this all the time whenever like suddenly a game is worse than the Metacritic score, once again bringing up Metacritic, is much worse for The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I almost didn't believe it. But turns out, I mean, I understand why it reviewed worse. It's much shorter. The story, honestly, is probably better than the first one, but the gameplay scenarios you're put in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 just aren't as fun. The Amazing Spider-Man 1 felt more like Batman Arkham. A lot of the time, you're sneaking around, grabbing dudes from behind and webbing them up in the ceiling or on the wall or something. This game, the stealth and whatnot, was pretty bad. Like, no matter what, the people would see you. So you just ended up fighting. Like, I never got to sneak around and, like, take people out. So definitely The Amazing Spider-Man 1 is better than the second one. However, the open world web swinging in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is awesome. The first game, this was where it was a huge, like, just sucked. Because Spider-Man's swinging from frickin' Uncle Ben up in the clouds. Like, his webs didn't attach to the buildings. So he was just swinging, like, simple, just constantly looking the exact same. And it was just kind of like, eh, that's lame. This one, they brought back, like, webs attaching to buildings using, like, the momentum of swinging and, like, traveling around the city. And it's really fun. And it's honestly, in one way, better than, like, the new Spider-Man games. Which is, you're using left and right trigger for each web shooter. So if you want to shoot to the left, you're using the left trigger. If you want to shoot to the right, you're using the right trigger. And actually, sorry, my throat's just so dry. And actually, after you swing, like if you shoot like the right trigger, like you press it down, he shoots. If you hold down both triggers, then you'll swing like faster. And Spider-Man will like gain like his momentum. And it almost feels like you're shooting with one hand and then grabbing on to the rope with your other hand and then swinging really fast. And like in the game, Spider-Man actually does that. So you just feel that classic, iconic thing. You feel like Spider-Man. Hardcore. So yeah, that's probably the best part of the game. Aside from that, though, I've talked about the other games on the show. I played through Halo 2 Anniversary, which was great. I'm at the end of Halo 3 right now. A podcast I listen to called Knockback they're doing the Halo games. So I've been playing along with them. I didn't play Halo 1, but I played Halo 2 as I was listening to that episode. And I'm doing the same thing with 3. And their Halo 3 one just dropped. So I'm going to listen to that and play through Halo 3. Or finish it. And that's basically it. You know, I feel like I talked extensively about Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man 2018, which I replayed recently in anticipation for the sequel, which I cannot wait for. I cannot wait for Spider-Man 2. It looks amazing. And I played through Hulk Ultimate Destruction. So, yeah, my beating games really slowed down the past few weeks because of Starfield. And because I played through, like, big games like Final Fantasy 16 and Persona 5 Royal, which was a bit longer ago now, too. But as the year comes to an end, I have a lot of games right now that I'm, like, at the end of. Like, I'm at the end of, what's that game? We make fun of it on the show calling it Barnabas King, but that's not what it's called. I can't think of the real name now. Balder? No, not Balder. No. What is it? Something King. I can't believe I can't remember this now. Actually, I'm gonna search in our group chat, King. Then I'll be able to see it, what the name is. Because it's actually really good. I just had to stop it because of all the games coming out. It's called Bramble, the Mountain King. That's what I'm at the end of that, and that's really good too. That's on Game Pass, so I highly recommend that. And I'm really deep into Hogwarts. I'm going to beat that. I'm going to beat a lot of games before this year's over with. I might hold on to Sea of Stars actually till after this year's over with, because that's a long-er game, and I want to be able to invest some time into finishing off a lot of the 2023 games that were big that I started, old and new games that I started and haven't finished. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Just want to talk about what I was playing a little bit, because I don't typically get the chance to actually do it on the show, which hopefully changes with our new show, Press X. Hopefully that name isn't taken. You know, like, we looked around, we didn't see it anywhere, so hopefully that's fine. There was a huge Nintendo Direct that we're missing now that we can't talk about on the show. This is a Nintendo podcast, so, I mean, I guess I can run down a few of those announcements real fast. Super Mario RPG got shown off more. That looks really good. I'm probably going to get that. Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, probably going to get that too. I've always wanted to play through that. My buddy Andrew loves that game, like, a ton, and I've watched him play it a lot whenever I used to live with him, and it looks great, so I definitely want to play that. I've only played, like, the beginning several times, but never actually played through the full game. Trying to think, F-Zero 99, that's really cool. I downloaded that for my son, and I already caught him playing it a few times, so he seems to be enjoying it. He loves F-Zero. That's, like, probably his favorite franchise. I don't know, maybe Rocket League lately. But he still loves F-Zero. He plays all of them, like, all the way back to the SNES. Mortal Kombat 1 recently, the Switch version was finally shown off. It looks absolutely terrible. Absolutely dreadful. But I don't think there was anything else crazy from the Direct. The Direct was kind of mediocre. We got the classic Tomb Raider trilogy coming to Switch. We saw more of Luigi's Mansion 2 HD for Switch. Princess Peach Showtime was actually the big announcement, I thought, because we finally saw that game, and it looked great. Looked really good. Like, looks like it's a full-blown, great Nintendo game. I mean, there's not much else to say about it. You're playing as Peach. She dresses up as different styles of characters, and you implement their abilities into the gameplay somehow. It looks like it's doing, like, this theater show, like, this theater presentation, which kind of reminds me of, like, Paper Mario. Which one was it? Yeah, was that the Thousand Year Door? I don't know. Do they all do that? I can't remember. And lastly, Mario vs. Donkey Kong for the GBA is getting a remaster, which I'm surprised about. Like, how are we getting GBA remasters and there's still a bunch of 3DS games that never came to Switch? Like, where is Samus Returns for Switch? Give me a remaster of that remake. Where is the Ocarina of Time 3D for 3DS? Give me that on Switch. Like, that's what I want. Give us 3DS games that never got ported, that aren't Luigi's Mansion 2. Hey, but Luigi's Mansion 2 gives me hope. That does give me hope that we'll get more 3DS games. Where's Fire Emblem Awakening, you know? Bring that to Switch. So yeah, guys, that's it. In terms of news, the Direct we'll talk about next week on the first episode of Press X. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet recently got the DLC. Apparently that runs really bad. It's worse than the base game, apparently. No surprise there, because Nintendo, Game Freak, and all them do not give a crap about performance, about quality, I mean, Nintendo cares, but I guess they have no say. Like, those games do not meet the typical Nintendo seal of quality that most games do. But yeah, that's it, guys. I guess I'll just head out. It's been long enough. I'm going to go pick up my kids from school. Thanks a lot. Actually, I got to hurry out. They get out in like 15 minutes. So yeah, thanks a lot if you made it this far. Next week, we'll be back with Press X with Mary back on the show. So yeah, thanks a lot for listening. And oh yeah, I've been throwing in some old songs of mine from my old music days at the end of these episodes, just because I have a fear that like one day my Dropbox or my Microsoft Cloud stuff, which is where those songs are sitting, I have a fear one day that all that stuff's going to disappear. So I've been trying to post them in other spots so that they exist somewhere else. And, you know, not all of them are going to be great. A lot of them are like demos. They're not like mastered, mixed, or like mixed right. And some of the vocals and some of them are even recorded on my phone that I never got to like go into the studio and do. The next one I'm posting, I have no idea what it's going to be. And I'll probably, like, every now and then just throw in some actual finished songs that we did back in my music days just because, like, just for fun, you know? So, thank you, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week with Press X. Goodbye. Hit my finger on the table if you didn't hear that. Play your